In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Ark of the Covenant, Saint Joseph, Saint Scholastica, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the first reading we hear about Solomon after building this glorious temple that he was assigned by God. His father was not, King David was not permitted to build it, but Solomon was going to be given the task to build this glorious dwelling place for the Lord. But the temple, even though it was a beautiful and glorious building, did not yet have the presence of God there until the Ark of the Covenant was brought there. And that's why with great ceremony they enthroned, you might say, the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. And now God came in his dwelling. Truly the temple became the dwelling place of the Lord. So you could say that the Ark of the Covenant was the dwelling place of the Lord even before the temple. And that's why the Ark of the Covenant was such a sacred relic, you might say, for the Jews, because it was, as God told them, he would dwell there. He would dwell above the mercy seat that was on top of this Ark, this sacred vessel that they were told to construct through Moses. So you could say in this first reading, we have a, since the Ark is a type of Our Lady, which was the true dwelling place of the Lord, where God came and made his presence among men, that in this first reading from the Old Testament, we have the combination of latria and hyperdulia. For the Ark was also considered to be not just the fact that it represented the dwelling divine presence among them, but the God even exacted a certain reverence for the Ark. Because remember, one time they went to move the Ark and it started to kind of shake. It was going to, it seemed to be losing the, it was becoming unsteady. And one of the priests reached out to steady it, and he was struck dead. Because God did not want, you know, this sacred vessel to be profaned. And it was a very startling thing to David when this happened, when the priest was struck dead for just touching the Ark, we might say without permission or whatever, and that he said, I don't think we should proceed any further. And that's when he had the Ark taken to the house of Obed. And there, Obed was blessed because he had the Ark in his presence, and then, of course, David took the Ark and went further to the temple, brought it to Jerusalem, where it was enthroned in this tent that he was living there before they constructed the temple. But so we see that even this vessel was considered to be held in high regard. And we know that it did. When they took the Ark with them into battle, they were successful only one time when, because the Jews were not faithful to God, the Ark was taken by their enemies, and then their enemies suffered so terribly while the Ark was with them that they gave it back. It's probably the first time that anybody ever surrendered booty given or taken in battle back to their enemy that they had won in the battle over, because they didn't want it. It was causing them so many terrible afflictions and deaths because they were not the chosen people. They were not the ones who should have this vessel with them. So in the Old Testament, there was a certain typology, certain representation of the fact that since the Ark of the Covenant was a type of Our Lady, we see already symbolized in typology veneration of Our Lady and the hyperdulia being given to the ark as the dwelling place of the Lord, and the mighty deeds that were worked for the Jews because of the ark, and that they really held it in great reverence because it was for them God's dwelling among them. And even more so, we should have devotion to Our Lady because she does represent that God did come and dwell among us because He had a human mother, a mother who said yes to being the mother of God. And so we hold her in high esteem. She truly did contribute to God's being among men, and that she gave Him a human nature that He could speak and work miracles by touching people. These are all important reasons why Our Lady is held in high esteem by the faithful, and should be. In the Gospel today, we see where another sign of sacramentals being used, where the people knew that they didn't have to even ask our Lord to speak to them or touch them. All they had to do was touch the tassel of His cloak and they would be cured. God didn't require them to, do any more than that, just to manifest enough faith to know that all we have to do is just touch His garment, and we will be given the healing that we desire. This is something that, they didn't see power in that tassel or that garment, but they knew that it was something that was associated with God. It was His garment, His tassel, that they just showed enough love and faith to touch it and touch Him in one sense, that they would receive the blessing that they were looking for. This also leads us to Saint Scholastica, who we celebrate today, the great virgin of the church, the sister of Saint Benedict. You might say not only were they brothers and sister in the flesh, but even more so in the Lord, for they would gather once a year and speak about spiritual things late into the night. And it talks about in the writings in the office of the church today that they were up late one night speaking, and it got too late, and Saint Benedict said to his sister, "It's time for us to go. We have to stop." And she begged him to stay, and he said, no, sister, we have to go." And so she bowed her head on the table with her hands folded, and just remained silent. All of a sudden, great peals of thunder and lightning and a downpour of rain came, and Saint Benedict said to his sister, "Sister, what have you done?" And she said, "Well, I asked you and you would not listen, so I asked God and He did listen." You can see the power of prayer of someone who loves God. Someone who, you might say, the reason why God listened to her is because she listened to God. She did the will of God. And if we want God to hear our prayers, then the best way that we can, you might say, bring God's attention to our prayers is that we're doing His will, that we're attentive to doing everything that He asks of us. And if we have that fidelity to His will, then our prayers will be very powerful. He will hear us. It says that God governs the world and prayer governs God. Because prayer from someone who is truly attentive to doing His will, God will be attentive to them. Look at Our Lady, who was the most perfect disciple of our Lord and the handmaid of the Lord, who showed forth that perfect fidelity. So therefore her prayers are most powerful before God. And those who follow Our Lady in that example, like Saint Scholastica, their prayers also are very powerful before the Lord because they love Him so much that they're attentive to everything that He asks of them. So if we look at our prayer life and we look at not only as individuals but as a church, to the degree that we're faithful to what God is asking of us, to the degree that we're faithful to all that he requires, you know, fulfilling the Ten Commandments, fulfilling all that the church teaches. If we are attentive to that, and we're attentive, of course, mainly to fulfilling the law of love that God has asked, that we love him with our whole hearts, our whole soul, our whole strength, and our neighbors, ourselves, then our prayer will be heard. And that's not just as individuals, but maybe local churches, to the degree that the church in the United States is attentive to fulfilling and doing God's will in proclaiming the truth and being faithful to that, whether it be bishops, priests, lay people, then our prayers will be much more pleasing to God, because he'll say, yes, they are listening to me, they're doing my will, therefore I will bless them and I will give them what they ask. To the degree that we do that, then our prayers will be most powerful and effective. So when we look at our prayer life, the thing we want to look at is seeing, is am I doing what God asks of me? If I want him to do something for me, I have to be attentive to fulfilling his will. And when we do that, it says that the prayer of a just man is most powerful before the Lord. And we see that even in such a little thing as Saint Scholastica today in the readings. You know, she just wanted to talk longer about spiritual things to her brother. And God even listened to that little, you might say, insignificant among all the things that God has to, prayers that he has to answer every day, that he even was attentive to that. And it just truly shows the great kindness, the great love of God for us, that he listens to even the littlest things that we ask of him, because they are all important to him, because we are truly, as he says, the apple of his eye, that he loves us so much that he will even hear the least request that we make of him if we are truly doing his will and serving him as we ought. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.